Good morning to you. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. I don't want to sound like as if I'm putting on a priestly voice here, but I am going to read what is on a Facebook page from a very highly respected Belfast priest, Father Paddy McCafferty. And he says, those who voted yes and who might still seek to consider themselves as practicing Catholics need a reality check. They have broken faith with Jesus Christ. They have committed a grave sin. Unless they sincerely repent and seek reconciliation with Jesus, they cannot be considered as Catholics in any true sense. Such is the gravity of what they have done. The consequences of our actions on this earth also affect our destiny in eternity. If such people will not repent and seek God's forgiveness, then we simply have to let them go on the path they have chosen. The reality of hell comes directly from the Word of God and the plain teaching of Jesus in the Gospel. Let us be clear, children who die in abortions go straight to God. They share in the vast company of the blessed who are happy in the everlasting life. On the other hand, those who advocate for abortion, those who promote it, lobby for it, campaign for it, even worse, those who perpetrate abortions and those who deliberately procure them are agents of darkness. That is pretty heavy stuff. That is Father Paddy McCafferty, and he is, and I said, a highly respected priest in the Belfast area from the Corpus Christi diocese, high-profile priest as well. We spoke to Father Paddy before we came on air. He doesn't wish to join us on the programme. Maybe it wouldn't sound so stark if he had a conversation with us, and this is what I think. The Catholic Church fails miserably on so many issues. They won't come on and have a proper conversation. But they will deliver from the pulpit, which is, of course, their job. And they will deliver on the likes of Facebook, where it can be challenged, yes. But you don't hear the tone of what the person is saying. And to me, that is absolutely putting it up to anyone who's ever called themselves a Catholic. Father Paddy McCafferty is saying, you are not worthy of being a Catholic. Or is he? If he was on the programme, I could ask him. Let me speak to Alison Morris from the Irish News, who obviously would be targeting a considerable number of Catholics in her readership. And she has the story in the paper today, and it starts with a high-profile Catholic priest has said he will protest along with other pro-life activists outside clinics carrying out abortions when legislation is introduced in the Republic. So he'll be there on the front line protesting, but he won't come on the radio. Alison Morris, good morning, Alison.
Good morning.
I say Father Paddy McCafferty is highly respected. We have to emphasise just how highly respected he is. He is a very popular Catholic priest.
He is. Paddy McCafferty's a lovely man, and we've all dealt with him as journalists over the years, and he's also a very brave man. We know that he waived his anonymity and he gave evidence in an abuse case, and he's been really supportive of the victims of the historical abuse inquiry. And he's moved, since he's moved to Corpus Christi, he's hugely popular in West Belfast. And I mean, you couldn't help but warm to him and like him. But I think the issue that we shouldn't be surprised, clearly, that a priest is expressing such views on a pro-life movement. That's their job, and we wouldn't expect anything less of them. I think what the Catholic Church needs to be careful since this referendum is that some of the things that they have said about excluding people, we know that there was another priest who told a couple, if they wanted to be married in a Catholic church, that they would have to come and see him and talk about their position on the abortion referendum. And also in the Facebook post that Paddy posted, he also mentioned children who were getting confirmation and communion and the sacraments and then never showing up in the church again, and the possibility of maybe excluding them or their parents. And the church, I think, needs to be very careful when it comes to excluding people. You know, the Catholic Church is in trouble in the South. We could see that by the results of the referendum. The referendum passed for a number of reasons. It's because so many women came out and told the horrific stories of what they'd endured over the years and how damaging the Eighth Amendment had been to women and families. But the church in the South in the main stayed out of that debate. They didn't join in it, and there's a reason for that. They played a very low profile role in campaigning against it in the No campaign, because they've had so many scandals, and we've had the mother and baby home scandals, we've had the institutional abuse scandals, And we now have other scandals in relation to priests in schools in Nurien, etc. So I don't think that anyone was in the mood for being moralised to by a priest, considering the problems that the church has in itself. The problem is that women who had to go through some terrible experiences and who were brave enough to come and tell their stories, those women the church should be treating with compassion, you would imagine, rather than saying that anyone who procured an abortion is going to hell. I think that's very stark language to use.
This is why I would love to have had Father Paddy on, because we've spoken to him before, you've spoken to him, the media have interacted with him, and he is the sort of person who you would enjoy the company of. He is a, you know, most people would say he is a good man, Father Paddy McCafferty. However, the message... Lovely man. The message in that Facebook post, however, is, and it's been pointed towards thousands and thousands and thousands of Catholics, you are not welcome. Do not darken our door. Do not come back. And there's a big unless you repent, unless you ensure that you are not on the path to hell. This is the language that we sometimes scoff at when you hear it from the really extreme right-wing Christian groups, and you think to yourself, those people are off on a bit of a tangent. As a church,
it's kind
that's
of like
often
you hear from those sort of American,
like
evangelicals, isn't it? It's that type of language.
I'm trying not to use the term Bible thumping, because I don't want to insult anyone who maybe holds a Bible and gives it a bit of a bang whenever they're trying to get people's attention. But if the Catholic Church is seen as, in the eyes of some people, maybe it's only me who thinks it's a pretty moderate church. If the Catholic Church wants to be seen as moderate and open and welcoming to all families in Ireland, well, that sort of rhetoric is just like putting up, we do not welcome you. They may as well have that sign out on the door. Maybe I'm misunderstanding him. Maybe if they would come on and have a civilised chat on the airwaves, we would get a better understanding of what they're talking about.
I think that the post was very clear, and if you read it, it's very clear. And also, I did have a conversation yesterday with him just to clarify about the protests outside clinics, and said, would you say we in that post, do you mean yourself? And he said, yes, he thinks that priests and even bishops should be protesting outside the clinics in England. They've had to put exclusion zones around clinics to stop people harassing women getting out of them. And I think that the emotive language didn't work in the South. The No Campaign lost in the South because they tried to use that very emotive language. They spread fake news in relation to disabled children and what it would mean. We know the legislation counts for children with fatal abnormality, and it means just that. It means a child can't survive out of the wound. It doesn't mean a disabled child in any sense, who, as we know, are precious and gifts to many families, including my own. But what it does, I think, that the church and that kind of language, it turns people away. And instead, at a time when Ireland is modernising and Ireland is in transformation, the church is going to have to take a look at itself, and it's going to have to consider how it fits into a modern world and a modern society. And telling people that they'll not be welcome, well, I mean, eventually you'll end up, you know, with a priest saying mass to, you know, three pensioners and a dog if they start that, because none of us are perfect and we all have problems and we all have issues and we all go through traumatic experiences. And a lot of this campaign was about that. It was about tragedy, and Ireland spent decades punishing women for tragedy rather than helping them, and exporting tragedy to other places, exporting tragedy on planes and boats. And instead now it says, no, we will look after our women in our country and give people proper medical care. And the church should be looking at a way that they can then make themselves part of that modern Ireland. Instead, what we're hearing is from certain priests is a language that's very exclusionary. It's very, it's, as you said, it's that kind of language you'd expect to hear, you know, from some sort of American evangelical preacher, you know, that most of us would sort of roll our eyes at. And it's not going to entice young people into the church. It's not going to entice people who want to live in a modern and fair and equal society to the church. I think that it's probably quite hurtful for a lot of people. The strength of the Yes vote, I think, took a lot of people by shock, because they still did believe Ireland to be a Catholic and conservative country, and that's clearly not the case. You know, it's a modern change in world. The pace of change in Ireland's been staggering, the pace of social change. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a place for people of faith. But you can't then use that faith to condemn people to hell. I think words, the use even of the word hell, I thought, but church had abandoned long ago, you know, because I don't know what kind of a God punishes someone who's had a crisis pregnancy. I don't think that anyone would want to go to Mass and celebrate a God that condemns people to hell who've been raped or whose baby was dead in the womb. I don't think that that's the kind of church that anyone wants to pray in.
You see, this is why I'd love to have Father Paddy here, because I need to allow him to answer what you're saying there. And as I say, we've invited him and he isn't available to come on. I'm not sure about last Sunday.
It's not just, I don't think it's just a matter for Father Paddy. I think it's a matter for the Catholic Church in general.
Surely, but he's the one that put the very detailed Facebook post up. He's the one who's used the language. And this is what I was going to say. I don't know about last Sunday in every church, but I was actually surprised to hear from people who'd been to a number of Masses last Sunday that the priests didn't remark on the referendum outcome. This is Sunday morning. This is the biggest news story of the weekend. The Catholic Church's opinion was for a no vote. They didn't allow lobbying inside the church for a no vote. That decision was taken. But at the same time, whenever the vote was over, whenever the decision had been made, you would have expected the Catholic Church the next morning to have had some form of words to explain their position, with the outcome being a significant yes vote. But Mass has just continued on as if it hadn't happened. And again, I couldn't help but think that that's a burying the head in the sand attitude. Or maybe there's a good reason for it, but I can't see the good reason for it not having some sort of pastoral letter on Sunday morning at Masses. Maybe it did in some parishes and in others it didn't.
Yeah, it does seem to me to have been a very low-key response. But what we are seeing now is individual priests are coming out and making comments, which would question, I suppose. And again, I mean, we can't condemn a priest for having an opinion like that, because that is obviously what their view is going to be. I think what the problem is when you start using very emotive language and language that can be re-traumatising for people, because, you know, if people have been through a tragedy and they've been through an awful event, the last thing that they need to be told, you know, by a church is that they're going to burn for eternity in hell. I mean, they need compassion and care. And I think that if the church wants people in on a Sunday, if they want to fill those pews, that they're going to have to modernise and show compassion to people, and using words like hell and repent and those sort of things, I don't think is part of the modern society that we live in. You know, that might have swung in the Catholic Ireland of the 1920s. You know, it might have swung in the Devil Era Ireland, but it's not gonna entice people in now. You know, the world has changed, and I think that the Catholic Church needs to maybe have some internal reflection and see how they fit into a new modern society.
So hard to argue with what you're saying, Alison. A final question: is there any point in the Pope coming to Ireland? I know he's an incredibly popular figure. I know hundreds of thousands of people will go to see him because he's one of the most famous faces on the planet. But are people going because he is this famous charismatic figure, or are they going because of what he believes in? Ireland obviously doesn't believe in the theories of the Pope, the teachings of the Pope.
I think it's wrong to say that because such a large number of people come out and voted yes, that they don't then still consider themselves Catholics. I thought that was a very strange comment to say you could no longer consider yourself Catholic, because people had listened to the voices of women who had been through traumatic experiences and decided to side with them. And we know about the silent yes, you know, people who had maybe not spoken about their own experiences to anyone, maybe not even told their own family, who went in and voted yes. But those people would still pray and consider themselves Catholic and consider themselves Christians. And as you say, the Pope is very charismatic, and I think that there will be large crowds that will go to him. And we have to be very mindful of people's religion and accepting and understanding of that. But I think the Pope has used language which has been much kinder in recent years in relation to lots of other people than what we've seen maybe from some priests, and some of them can maybe take a lead from the Pope rather than go off on tangents.
The bottom line is, if the Pope was sitting here and we asked him a straight question, Your Holy Father, is it acceptable to vote yes in the Irish referendum, he would have to say no. He might use less damning language than Father Paddy, but he would be telling you the same story. He believes in hell. He believes that if you are, involve yourself in abortion, you have divorced yourself from Christ. You will have broken faith with Jesus Christ. He believes it's absolutely at the top of his list that you have committed a grave sin if you've involved yourself in the supporting or indeed the carrying out or the embracing of abortion in any way. That is a grave sin. The Pope believes that. And no matter how well he can present the language in an embracing and meaningful and gentle way, that's still what he means. It is a grave sin. And you are going to go to hell if you do not repent. That's what the Catholic Church believes. That's what the Pope believes.
You would assume that that's obviously the line that the Pope would take, but I just don't think that the people who voted, I mean, you're talking in some parts of Dublin, there were 78% of people voted yes. Even in the only county that voted no was Donegal. It was still, I think it was 52-48. It was still a very close run thing, and that was in a constituency that, you know, would have a lot of rural areas and a lot of very devout Catholics. So the fact is that you cannot say that the people who voted yes are all not Catholics, they don't consider themselves Catholics. It was clearly people who have very strong faith who voted just for their own reasons. And the church is just going to have to accept that that's the case, and they're going to have to accept it how they show compassion to women, considering, you know, the fact that women were treated so appallingly when they found themselves pregnant. If we go back to the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, in mother and baby homes and their children sent for forced adoptions and all that, you think that the church would have learned from that and learned from those lessons of treating women who are pregnant like some sort of contagion and their children like a commodity. And we know that we've heard apologies from the church in relation to that, but they have to remember that this is an outworking of that. And what's happening now and what's happening in reaction to how Ireland's changing, a lot of that is an outworking to what the church did and the damage that the church caused. And I think that they need to reflect on that and accept their role in that and their responsibility for that as we move on.
Okay. Alison, always good speaking to you. Thanks for coming on. Thank you.
No problem. Bye.
Alison Morris from the Irish News. Father Paddy McCafferty, you can read his Facebook post. There's a lot more to it than I read out. And I ask you the question, is there any point in the Pope coming to a country that doesn't accept his teaching? The majority of people in the Republic of Ireland do not accept the teachings of the Pope. So why will hundreds of thousands turn out to greet him? Is it because he's some sort of superstar, or is it because people are Catholics? Or indeed, are they just a la carte Catholics? They suit themselves with the teachings of the church and they've turned their back on most of the central planks. Do let us know what you think. 0289033105. Are you with the analysis of Alison Morris, or are you with Father Paddy McCaffrey, where people who involve themselves in abortion are on the route to hell?
The U105 Frank Mitchell phone-in with Right Sofaland. Relax with our exclusive designer range of sofas and chairs at Kalinchi and our new flagship showroom, Knock Belfast.
All right, good morning to you. I'm going to take some of your reaction with regards to our conversation with Alison Morris in just a moment, but I also want you to have a listen to this, because there's a busy man on the end of the line and I want to have a conversation with him because it could actually save lives.
Looking forward for me, okay?
Yeah.
Hello? You okay? More help is going to come.
Are you shocked? Well, what you've just seen is a simulation of a road traffic collision and a small sample of what you can see and hear if you wear our new virtual reality goggles. The virtual reality goggles forms part of our new road safety educational programme called Your Choice. It's designed to target 16 to 24 year olds and will hopefully make you safer on our roads. It's quite difficult to describe how immersive these goggles are, so why don't you come along and try them? It's your choice.
You may have a chance to try them very soon indeed. Let me speak to Assistant Chief Fire Officer Alan Walmsley from the Fire and Rescue Service. Alan, good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Frank.
Alan, these goggles, I don't have them in the studio, but going by what we're seeing there and what people are hearing, they make things come across as incredibly real.
Yeah, Frank, I'm currently at the Southeastern Regional College in Lisburn, and we're about to launch our new road safety strategy. And what you've just played there is a clip supporting our new road safety educational programme. It's virtual reality, it's completely immersive, and it's called Your Choice. And I have to say, Frank, I'm delighted to be launching it today. It's extremely hard-hitting, it's extremely challenging, and it puts the young people right at the heart of what it feels like to be in a road traffic collision.
It could be harrowing for people to look at. I presume it comes with a health warning.
Yeah, look, it does. it's part of a wider programme. The virtual reality programme lasts about 8 minutes, and it basically puts the young person in the vehicle as a passenger. So they get the experience to lead up to the road traffic collision. They get to witness behaviours in the vehicle, which they can then, you know, try and stop in the future. It then leads on to the vehicle becoming involved in a road traffic collision, and then they get to witness what it feels like to be rescued, to be, you know, part of a road traffic collision. You see all the emergency services doing what they need to do, and it's amazing, Frank, because you're sitting in the passenger seat, you can look around into the back, you can look out the window and see the helicopter landing. You know, it's an amazing experience, and then it's backed up by a 30-minute presentation where it's very interactive with the young people, and we try and challenge them around their driving behaviours. And it's all about making them, it's that your choice. They have a choice as in what sort of road user they want to be. So, look, Frank, I know you're a great supporter of road safety. I know every year I see you at the Northern Ireland Road Safety Awards, and I would love the opportunity to let you experience the goggles if you're ever free, if you want to call in the fire service. I'd love to do that for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you be able to do it there on the Omer Road? Are you about there, Alan?
Yeah, certainly. We can bring it down to you in the studio and let you experience it. And let you feel what it, you know, it's like. Certainly, it's a hard-hitting program. And, like, you know, I have two young sons, 20 and 24. They're road users, and I make no excuse for, you know, it does come with a safety warning to start. We say, look, if at any time you want to take the goggles off, just put your hand up and remove the goggles. We've had some young people that have said at that point, no, I want to take them off, but it still put that seed in their mind that, you know, it's going to make them a better road user, I think, in the future.
No, I'll definitely experience it and talk about it. And other people who want to put those goggles on, how do they go about it?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've just released a press release today, so we've set up an email address. So what we're trying to say is the new road safety strategy, yes, we have this new program, but we also want to work in partnership. So I know I've been on your show many times talking about, you know, our people at risk strategy, our partnership agreements. So we're trying to mirror this when it comes to road safety. So we're reaching out to colleges, to schools, to sporting associations. You know, if you've got this age group of 16 to 24, can we work with you? Can we come out and deliver this program to your young people to try, you know, to try and make a difference? So we've set up an email address, and it's yourchoice@niffers.org. So you can register an interest. We'll make contact with you, and then we'll try and arrange a sort of session that we can come out and deliver this.
Okay, Alan, seems like a great idea. NIFRS, of course, is NIFRS. Alan, it's being launched today. We'll be hearing more about it, and hopefully it'll be another tool in the box for saving lives. Thanks for speaking to us, Alan. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks for spending time this morning. Thank you.
Not a bother at all, as you say. It's always an open door policy here for road safety on the show. Right, 90-333-105. Good morning to you. Get to your reaction to our conversation with Alison Morris. The number is 028-90-333-105. Where do you stand with your Catholic faith? Do you believe you can go to Mass? Do you believe you can go to the other services that are associated with the Catholic Church? If you believe in the yes vote, or are you being hypocritical? 028-90-333-105.
Welcome all you busy, busy business folk, tired travellers and eager sightseers. Welcome scarf-carrying, full-throated team supporters. Welcome pop and rock fans, foodies and fun lovers. Welcome all you young couples and old romantics. At the newly refurbished Beechlawn Hotel, we welcome you all with the ultimate place to unwind just 15 minutes from Belfast and Lisbon city centres. You'll find a welcome here at the Beechlawn Hotel Dunmurry Belfast. See beechlawnhotel.com for details.
Are you on the road today? Then share a thought for other road users. If you're driving, look out for vulnerable road users. If you're on foot, pay attention and take extra care. We all share the road, so respect everyone's journey.
You can miss a train, you can miss a bus, you can miss your favourite soap, but you can't miss the Glen Hill Spring Holiday Sale. Up to 40% off fireplaces, stoves, electric and gas fires. Up to 30% off bathrooms, bathroom furniture, showers and radiators. Starts Monday the 28th of May for 1 week only. Glen Hill, Stockman's Way, Belfast. Quality brands, affordable prices.
At Charles Hurst Used Direct, we're not having a used car sale event. No offers, no £1,000 discount, no pressure. Because at Charles Hurst Used Direct, we check our prices daily. We guarantee to give you the biggest selection of quality used cars at unbeatable prices every day at 10 locations throughout Ireland. Check out our incredible price promise at charleshurst.com/usedirect. You won't be disappointed. Comparable car must be from franchise dealer.
We're at sea. Oh, can't wait to get there and explore the windy roads
that lead to crumbling castles and ancient abbeys, and
stop on the coast for the freshest mussels, and
go up the mountains, through the glens, and keep driving till the sun goes down.
P&O Ferries. We'll get you from Larne to Cairnryan. What next is up to you. Book the shortest, fastest crossing at poferries.com. Check online now for our best offers. Terms and conditions apply.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105 with Right Sofaland. Experience luxurious living at Right Sofaland Calinchy and our new flagship showroom at Knock Belfast.
This one says, as a Catholic non-practicing, I understand the fall of the Catholic Church. I understand why it is happening. I gave birth to a full-term stillborn baby in 1999. He couldn't be christened or buried from the church. Shame on them, says a lady called Susie. Susie, I'm not for a moment questioning what you're saying. Other than, I'm just interested in the date. Are you right about 1999? Was it not earlier than that? But please come back to me on that. I just want clarification on it. This one says, Jimmy in Crumlin, I read that the bishop is saying people should go to confession. Originally being from the Falls Road, I laughed. How many of the clergy, from the priests right to the top, covered up child abuse, should there be in the confessional? Just a couple of the points that are coming up. Let me speak to some people who've issues about this as well on the back of our conversation with Alison Morris later, and our earlier on our comments about our comments from Father Paddy McCaffrey, who sees those who embrace abortion in any way as on the road to hell. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, good morning. Go ahead. What's your opinion?
Just
could you do me a favor? Turn your radio off for me. I think you're hearing everything in delay at the moment. So if you turn your radio down, you'll hear me on the phone. Go ahead.
Look, Frank, I just want to be frank about these things because I've got a lot of issues. I don't want to go into tangents about different things in my life. About these children. If he's in, I'm in hell, and been in hell the past 20 years, 30 years. I went to confession and I was asked the master's questions. I would like to speak to Father McCafferty, his phone number, because I'm from the Balmorphy area, Corpus Christi.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, I can't put you directly in touch with any individual priest, but I'm interested in your opinion on where the Catholic Church is today. Are you still a member of the Catholic Church?
I try to be.
And why do you find it difficult?
Because of the obnoxious things that were said to me in confession boxes. I don't want to repeat it.
So when you went into the confession box, you felt some of the questions were intrusive?
I was asked obnoxious, offensive, something very offensive, because I'm afraid to actually go back in the confession box because I'm afraid of being asked again.
Well, that is pretty harrowing. And people who go to confession expect to be listened to. They don't expect to be quizzed. Let me speak to whoever's on line two. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, good morning. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, you're through. Far away.
You're talking to Frank. Frank, is that me you're talking to?
Yes. Well, what's your first name?
Oh, sorry, it's John from Temple Paddock. I've spoken to you before on other issues about parking and stuff like that, and various issues. And, all this about abortion and about same-sex marriage and about everything. And I don't know if you read my text or not, but, you know, I saw Mary Lou, whatever her name is, McDonald, millionaire, as she is, very far, far, far from anything that people of the New Lodge in West Belfast would ever have in their life. And your boss, Neil, from Sinn Féin, and they're hand up cards and saying, oh, the North is next. Are you still with me there?
Yeah, I'm still with you in terms of hearing you. I'm doing my best to keep up with your argument. As to the financial status of the leader of Sinn Féin, I know nothing. I know nothing about her financial capabilities or financial elements. But
and laughing about abortion and the death of children. What I'm saying, Frank, is did Bobby Sands, who they represent, starve himself to death to achieve same-sex marriage and the death of unborn babies? That's what I'm asking.
And do you think that this is simply But hold on.
Ask the public, not you. I'm not asking you.
I seem to have a little problem with the line, and I know other people will be able to hear what you're saying at the moment, or will have been hearing. I want to get you back on the line because it's like echoing where I am at the moment. I'll get you back in just a second.
Electricians arrived and the plumber's not finished. A luxury bathroom. Stress City.
For a stress-free, relaxing bath in a beautiful new bathroom, time to call M1 Bathrooms. Tiles and PVC panels. Call down to our showroom. Choose your bathroom, fitting and tiles, and leave the rest to us. Our specialist team of plumbers, electricians, tilers and joiners will install your new bathroom suite in a week. And that's a promise. M1 Bathrooms. Tiles and PVC panels. Kennedy Way Industrial, behind Asda. Call 90 300 555 and get the job done with M1.
Hear that? That's the sound of your kids enjoying the children's entertainment every evening in July and August at the 4-star Roe Park Resort. And hear that? That's the sound of you relaxing in the health club and spa, because it's cost from £49.50 B&B per adult sharing. Enjoy a luxury family summer break for a lot less at Roe Park Resort. Book now at roeparkresort.com or call on 777-222-22.
The U105 Frank Mitchell phone-in with Right Sofaland. Relax with our exclusive designer range of sofas and chairs at Kalinchi and our new flagship showroom, Knock Belfast.
For the latest travel news, check u105.com or follow at u105 radio.
Hello, Mobley here, you know, from Carphone Warehouse. I'm going to tell you what happens when your mobile contract's about to end. It goes like this. Your network bombards you with information. The deal feels like your only option. You go for it. But is it the best deal for you? Probably not. Hang on. Oh, another network message. Delete. There are so many better deals out there. At Carphone Warehouse, we're proudly independent, so we can show you all the best deals, not just the deals your network wants you to see. Carphone Warehouse. We compare, you save.
Right, good morning to you. 90-333-105, 077-66-105-105. Let me go back to the gentleman who was criticising the financial aspects of Sinn Féin and raising some points about Bobby Sands. I think I can hear him clearly now. Yes, go ahead,
Hello.
Sir.
Is that better now?
Yeah, that's crystal clear. Go ahead.
All I was saying was, I looked on the BBC website a few days ago and I saw Mary Lou McDonald and I think that's her name, and the other girl, O'Neill, you know, holding up cards.
Let me stop you a second. Why do you refer to them as Mary Lou, whatever her name is, and the other girl, O'Neill? Can you not refer to them as the leader of Sinn Féin, the leader of Sinn Féin in the North?
Her first name. Well, Sinn Féin, yes. Well, Sinn Féin, yeah. Yeah.
Or call them Michelle and Mary Lou, but...
I'm not being derogatory about them. But what I'm saying is, you know, I laugh sometimes at the Sinn Féin people, you know, and they're supporting the oppressed Catholic people and all this nonsense, you know, and these people are millionaires, Frank. You know, and they're in it. They're in it for the game.
But hold on. Why? Explain to me why you're obsessed with the financial status of any particular family who may have members within Sinn Féin. I have no idea of the financial status of the president of Sinn Féin. I am absolutely certain, that Michelle O'Neill is not a millionaire.
Tell you what, see when you have a minute off, go on to Wikipedia and have a look at Mary Lou's background. Have a look at any of their backgrounds.
Yes, Mary Lou McDonald comes from a background that... But she comes from... Hold on a second. She comes from a background that isn't even Sinn Féin. She doesn't come from a Sinn Féin background. Her background is irrelevant to this conversation.
And the reason why she is in Sinn Féin, it's the only way that she can get forward. And she'll do anything that they want to do. You know that. You know what it's like in that game. You know what it's like in that game. She'll do anything that she wants. If they told that ginger-haired people had to walk on their hands, she will go with that.
I'm allowing you to speak. I'm allowing you to speak here without interrupting you. Because,
right, anyway,
to be honest, right, okay. So far you've sounded like an absolute fool, but go ahead.
No, I haven't sounded like a fool. But what my initial point was in my text, and you guys rang me back, which was quite kind of you, was that all I said was Sinn Féin, who would be, I'm sure, would attend, you know, memorials for people like Bobby Sands and other hunger strikers who starved themselves to death. All I'm saying is, do they think for one minute, when Bobby Sands was starving himself to death, was he ever thinking that he was starving himself to death for a party that would support same-sex marriage and the abortion? That's all I'm saying.
I have no idea where Bobby Sands stood on equality. I'm sure he expressed some opinion on it somewhere along the way. If people had a conversation with him when he was here about gay people, about equal marriage rights, about abortion, they'll be better informed than I am. I'm quite sure that Bobby Sands or other people who would have been of a similar thinking as Bobby Sands would have been along the lines of suggesting that they believed in equality. Whether or not you have accepted their argument, that's a completely different thing. That's a different political issue. But they would have been people who would have argued that they were accepting of equality.
Well, as a gay man, I can tell you now that the early day Sinn Féin, early day Bobby Sands, early day Russian socialist thinking would not be in my favour. That's all I'm saying.
So you see the current leadership of Sinn Féin then having progressed your point of view, but you don't accept the progress that they've made.
Oh no. To me, they're only doing that to win the vote. They're only doing that to win the vote. Likewise, yesterday I heard on William Crawley or whatever his name is, there was a guy from DUP. I don't want to digress from this subject. You know, talking about flags up in the upper part of the Armour Road. To me, they're only doing that to win the vote of moderate Catholics. That's their way of winning the vote.
So you think that Christopher Stalford, who's trying to liaise with the loyalists in Ballinafae, you think he's trying to get this issue of one flag on each pole and only union flags because it's all about winning Catholic votes? It may or may not be, but it's still policy. What's wrong with politicians having a policy that is supported by the majority of people?
I think he's very clever. I think he's very clever at what he's doing. But what I'm saying also, it's very clever what Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin have always gone with anybody that will get their vote. Anybody that will vote for them. It doesn't matter what they... It doesn't... If I said that, you know, as a ginger-haired gay man, if I approached Sinn Féin, they would just try and get some act passed that, you know, I have a special right.
You know, some of the arguments you put up are so bizarre that I almost feel I'm being sent up on the radio as opposed to having a realistic conversation with a contributor.
I'm not doing whatever his name is that did with the guy Sammy Wilson. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that to you. But I mean, I'm sure, you know, other listeners will understand what I'm saying. As I said, number one, do you, I'm not asking you to answer this question on air, but do you honestly think that Bobby Sands starved himself to death or a political party like Sinn Féin to achieve same-sex marriage or abortion?
You seem to be obsessed. You seem to be obsessed with the death of Bobby Sands. You also don't seem to be prepared to accept that parties develop and strategies develop and policies are taken from one perspective to another.
No, they Sinn Féin, DUP, they're all down the same road, achieving votes, and that is it. We will do something to get a vote, and they will support anything to get a vote. And Frank, you know that. And it's a bit like your show as well. I like your show, but again, you know, and thank you for letting me vent my my thoughts and everything else. But seriously, you know what it's like? That's what it's like out there. They're not interested in the actual person. They're interested in what they can achieve by supporting the person, and that is it.
Okay. It's as cynical as you'll get, but the man has made his point, and he's not sending us up. Right, good morning to you. 90-333-105, 077-66-105-105. This started as a conversation about the Catholic Church, did go off on a bit of a tangent. Let's bring it back to where it should be and speak to the caller who's on line four. Good morning.
Morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well.
That's good. Frank, I just want to say that every woman who's having an abortion would be going through so much torment in herself that the Catholic Church or any of us should not dispute what they're doing or what reason they're doing it for, and they should open them with open arms. I know I had two brothers, Frank, that died in the 60s, and one was buried in, or the two of them were buried in Mulltown Cemetery at the baby plot. One was outside the ground that the Catholic Church sold off, and the other one was inside the ground that the Catholic Church sold off. And I'm a divorced, remarried Catholic. I go to Mass every Sunday. The Catholic Church would ban me from the church, but that doesn't stop me from going. I love my church, and I go to it. I don't get communion because I know they say it wouldn't be right, and I wouldn't. I know there's people there that...
Let me stop you there for a second. Let me stop you there for a second, because I want you to clear that up for me. You say you don't get communion because you know it wouldn't be right. Hold on, because I need to ask you this. I just want to get this. Okay. I want to get this clear in my head and clear in the minds of people who are listening to the program. Are you... How do I phrase this? Would you be the person who would be going up to the altar with your hands across your chest and you don't...
Oh, no. But hold on, do I get
the question right? The people who go up to the altar with their hands across their chest, who take a blessing from the priest, are some of those people divorced?
I don't know what reason people do that.
Okay, I'm not sure why they do it either. Now, you said that you couldn't go up to communion because it would be wrong. No. Explain that to me.
No, I don't know whether it's, in the Catholic Church's eyes it's wrong. That's what I mean by that. In the Catholic Church, it's wrong. And I don't feel because I would be a Catholic and have been brought up a Catholic, I don't think it would be right to take communion. Why? That's just me.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Says, just go ahead on up. Why would anybody stop me from taking communion?
See, my opinion would be I would go and take the communion. I wouldn't care about whether or not there was a rule. And, you know, but you are who you are, and I have my opinion on that. I don't think people should be forbidden from taking communion simply because they are divorced. Do you think people who support the yes referendum should be allowed to take communion?
Of course, yes. I would. But see, I'm remarried, so I'm not only am I a divorcee, but I'm also a divorcee Catholic remarried.
Yeah, but is it not in the eyes of the Catholic Church a bigger sin to support abortion than it is to get divorced?
Well, I think the two of them are along the same line, yeah, is what I would say to that.
In terms of the Catholic Church, see, this is why I would love Father Paddy McCaffrey to be here on the programme, because we'd get clarity on this. Which is the greater sin, getting divorced or voting yes in the abortion referendum?
See, Frank, my two boys were brought up Catholics too. They're both in their 30s now, and they would say the Catholic Church is man-made rules, because if God was on this earth today, there's no way he would have them rules. So they don't bother going at all. And it's a la carte, and that's what I think most people are nowadays, a la carte Catholics, and that's the way it should be, because people take out of it what they want and what they need, and what they get out of it is good.
Yeah, but you can't be a Catholic and be an a la carte Catholic.
That's exactly right.
An a la carte Catholic is an entirely different being. So is there any point in the Pope coming to Ireland? He's not coming for a la carte. He's coming for the whole menu.
If God was here on this earth today, Frank, I think he'd be an a la carte one. Frank? That's what I think, because I think there's a lot of thing goes on, and people don't make decisions lightly, and having an abortion isn't a thing somebody would take very lightly, I assume. I think it's a hard decision for anybody to make, so I think it would be a hell of a decision to make, and anybody who makes that choice should be open with open arms.
Okay, thank you very much for the commentary. Not according to Father Paddy McCaffrey, however, and we did ask him to come on the programme. He believes if you are advocating for abortion, promoting it, lobbying for it, campaigning for it, or perpetrating an abortion, you are deliberately procuring an abortion, you are an agent of darkness. 90-333-105, 077-66-105-105. We'll have a look at the texts and indeed the commentary that you're coming through with regarding the Catholic Church. Also, listening to the calls, let me go to line one. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, Frank. I'd just like to say one of the previous callers mentioned about what the Catholic Church was more against, abortion or divorce, and you would go to hell for one or the other. What I would like to say is I got...
Well, let me stop you there, because I don't think anyone said you would go to hell for divorce. There's a suggestion in what Father Paddy McCaffrey is saying that you go to hell for abortion.
Yes, but one of your viewers were saying she didn't feel what was worse, abortion or divorce. But the point I would like to make is, you know, I was married, and I was only married for a short few months and found out I was expecting. And my then husband just wasn't accepting of it at all. And I am a Catholic, and he basically walked out on me and had said that he would try and make the marriage work if I didn't go ahead with the pregnancy. Now, I did go ahead with the pregnancy, and then I procured a divorce. So that was me banished from the Catholic Church as such. I then had to go and seek and pay for an annulment through the diocese, and to be in effect accepted back into the Catholic Church again. You know, I'm not saying I'm for or against abortion. I do believe the Irish government was right in holding the referendum, because I don't believe any government has a right to instill what a woman should do or not do with their bodies. But that isn't saying that I'm for abortion, because I do not think any woman, even if it is a means of contraceptive, goes through that choice lightly. And I do feel that Father Paddy's comments are very, very strict and probably very ancient in his doctrine, because this isn't the life that we choose to lead. Now everybody is free and we're becoming more vocal and more independent in expressing our rights and how we feel we should live. And I don't think the Catholic Church, in view of the historical abuse, I think they've got a bit of a cheek to be telling people what to do when they hid so much of the abuse and the lives that they ruined through that abuse, and then to turn around and they protect their fellow priests and now turn around and condemn women, or even condemn people for voting yes, because voting yes doesn't mean to say that a woman should seek an abortion. To me, the vote for yes was just saying that I have a right to do what I want with my body, not what a government is telling me I should do with the body, my body.
Yes, I need to emphasise one point on the back of what you're saying with regards to clerical sex abuse. And this is where Father McCaffrey is so respected in the community. He's been praised in the past for waiving his anonymity after giving evidence against a former priest and convicted sex offender, James Martin Donaghy, who was sentenced to 10 years in jail. Now, this is important because Father McCafferty is exactly the sort of priest that people look to as a role model, as someone of strength, of someone who brushed nothing under the carpet, as someone who was out there and standing up for the victim. That's the sort of person Father Paddy McCafferty is, and this is why he's so highly respected. And it's part of the reason why people are reading his Facebook post this morning and thinking, my goodness me, he is incredibly strict. He gives not a millimetre to people who believe in equality for women. He sees it only through the eyes of the Catholic Church. And you say that the Catholic Church, that's an ancient attitude. It may be an ancient attitude, but it is still the law of the Catholic Church. It's still the rule of the Catholic Church. And you emphasise there an example of where you had a partner who wanted you to have an abortion. You literally fell out with him because of that argument. You went on and had your baby, and you then wanted to divorce this person who had suggested having the abortion. But because you got divorced, the Catholic Church ostracised you. You were protecting the unborn. You got ostracised because you had the divorce, and then you had to, in some way, buy your way back into the Catholic Church. That reflects so poorly on the Catholic Church. And this issue whereby you can't go and have communion because you're divorced, ancient with a capital A should be the word for that, but it is still the rule of the Catholic Church. And that's why I asked the question, and I'd love to have Father Paddy on here, because a priest deserves to be on to be answering some of the questions I'm asking and to be answering some of the criticism that the Catholic Church is receiving this morning. The Church should be on this programme answering some of the questions, if only for guidance for us. But in the meantime, the criticism is going to continue, because the Church is coming across as being ancient. However, it's sticking firmly to the rules, and the Pope is coming and people will go to see the Pope. And the other question I asked this morning, what's the point of the Pope coming to Ireland? Are people just going to wave at a famous face? Because the majority of people here do not believe in the teachings of the Pope.
I don't feel that the referendum was about Catholicism. I think the referendum was about women having the right to choose.
Yes,
that's what I believe.
And
I understand what you're saying, but let me say, I'm not saying that the Catholic Church's teachings are ancient in regards to abortion. As I said, I'm not for or I'm not against abortion, but I do think the way in which he projected his disdain on people that voted yes by saying yous are all condemned to hell, I think that element is ancient. And as you said, rhetoric, I don't believe, I mean, at the end of the day, he is a priest, he's a representative of the Catholic Church, and he has a right to express those views and stand up for the Catholic Church and saying abortion is wrong. That is the teachings of the Catholic Church, and I can totally empathise with that, being brought up a Catholic. But the way and his mannerisms of condemnation for anybody that voted yes by basically sending us all to hell, basically like I was being sent to hell for having a divorce. And as you said, and you know, I had to buy myself back into the Catholic Church again. You know, that is just obscene.
I feel for anyone who's divorced who can't receive communion. I wasn't fully familiar with the rule in relation to that. That's why I asked someone earlier in the programme. Maybe you could give me some clarity on it.
I went to the priest two weeks before I was in receipt of my annulment papers. And my daughter was making her communion that weekend. And I said, here's a letter from the Armagh Diocese to say, yes, you are going to be granted an annulment. My daughter's making her communion on Saturday. Can I go? Because the way it was done in the school, you went up behind your daughter or your son and they received their first communion and then you received communion after them. And I was told by the priest, no, I haven't seen the papers. And I said, but here is a paper from the diocese saying it is going to be granted. I'm just waiting on the official seal of approval. And he still wouldn't let me accept communion on my daughter's communion day. And that was just, actually, it was embarrassing.
Clear this up for me. Would you be able to go up with your hands across your shoulders and receive a blessing?
Yes. Yes. But I just, it was... You know, at the end of the day, everybody's looking at all these beautiful young children. And, you know, it's a very reverent occasion. And, you know, I just felt people are going to be asking questions why I can't. And I know it wasn't about me, but I felt the spotlight was then on me. And at the end of the day, I did nothing wrong. I went through all the right channels. I was in receipt of getting an annulment. But yet this priest says, no, I'm not letting you receive communion. And, I mean, it was just... It was hurtful, you know, and at the end of the day, as you know, you've clarified, I did nothing wrong. You know, I was, in effect, protecting my pregnancy. I wanted to go ahead and have my baby. She's now a beautiful 20-year-old daughter. You know, and it's just, I just think, you know, Father Paddy, I respect him. I do respect him. And I respect what he's saying about abortion. But I just think the condemnation of what he feels is in front of people that voted yes in the referendum. I just think that's very sad, because voting yes doesn't mean to say you're going to have an abortion.
No, but and here's the bit that if Father Paddy was here, I would be allowing him to answer that, but he isn't here. We did invite him to come on the programme. The argument against what you're saying is that if you voted yes, you are in favour of abortion. This is just a simple fact. If you voted yes in the referendum...
Voting yes was you were in control of your body. The government, the country that you reside in, does not have the right to tell you what to do with your body. Voting yes, in my mind, was about I am in control of my body. No government is going to sit and tell me what I can and can't do with my body. But I'm not going to have an abortion by voting yes.
I'm listening to what you're saying and I'm hearing the Catholic teaching ringing in my head. If you vote yes in a referendum, and I understand why you are voting yes, it's because you want a woman to have autonomy over her own body. I totally understand that argument. However, if you're voting yes, you're voting for the government of the country to allow abortion up to 12 weeks. So therefore, you are enabling abortion. And Father Paddy says, those who advocate for abortion, those who promote it, lobby for it, campaign for it, perpetrate abortion or deliberately procure an abortion are agents of darkness. By agents of darkness, that means you will go to hell. The greater guilt lies with the politicians and those who wielded their strong influences to secure abortion on demand in Ireland. Their immortal souls are in danger if they will not repent. We must pray for them as well as resist their evil work. People who voted yes are part of that group. According to Father Paddy, people who voted yes are carrying out evil work.
I just feel that any woman that is going to go ahead with an abortion will seek it out by some means, whether that is, you know, what has been the case, going across to England and securing an abortion there. I do think it is a sad day for Ireland. It's a big historical change for Ireland, because we were one of the most staunch places, you know, that opposed it throughout. But I think, to me personally, the bottom line is that I just feel, yes, autonomy over your own body comes first and foremost, and no government should have the right to tell you what to do with your body.
You're very, very clear. You're very clear in your argument, and I really appreciate you coming on the program. There's exceptional clarity in what you're saying, and I welcome that on the show. Sometimes I find it difficult to understand what some people are projecting. I've no difficulty at all with understanding you. And
well, thank you.
Thank you very much. You've been through a lot. Are you angry at the Catholic Church in any way, or when you go on a Sunday, do you feel fully part of being at the Mass?
Oh yes, definitely. And I mean, I love my faith, and the Clonard Novena is coming up next week, and I will be there, whether it's physically there or we have the choice now of, you know, going online and, you know, sort of Skyping and going through the Novena. I love my faith, and I'm very proud of my faith, but my faith makes me angry in respect of my husband is from Dublin, and we do not have a good relationship with his mother, because, tongue-in-cheek, I call her a born-again Catholic. You know, she hates me because I've been a divorced woman, and we had myself and my second husband and I have had a son outside marriage, and I just feel that, you know, she actually had my husband in England, outside marriage, and it's a bit pot and kettle black, and there she is, you know, a respected member of the community, and she doesn't give a toss about her son. She doesn't give a toss about her three grandchildren, and that makes me angry that she's seen as a pillar of the community and is such a good Catholic, and there's not a Christian bone in her body as far as I'm concerned. And I know that's a very personal argument, but that part of the Catholic Church makes me angry, because there's so much hidden, but yet these people think they're so right just because they go to church every Sunday. I don't go to church every Sunday. I go to church when I feel I want to go to church, and I'm not a need to go. You know, not like I'm looking a prayer for a special intention. You know, there's days I would go just leave my son off to school, and the Mass is on at 9:30, and I find myself just standing in and sitting at the back of the church and listening. It's a wanting to go, not a needing to go. And I think that's what's important. And even Pope Francis said, you know, you don't have to go to Mass to be a good Catholic. You know, you don't have to go 24/7 and, you know, be all around the place showing how good of a Catholic you are. If you are honest in yourself and honest in your prayers, then that is showing good spirit in Catholicism. And to me, that's what's important. I'm not a bad person. I don't wish bad things on people, you know, but, you know, people that portray this Christianity, whether it's under a Catholic ethos or a Protestant ethos, but yet really, you know, are spiteful to people, you know, what's that saying to God in total? Because at the end of the day, we have to remember it's the same God, and it's sorry and sad that this wee country is divided, when really we do pray to the same God, just in a different manner.
Thank you. It's an amazing commentary. Thank you very much. 10:25 is the time. I should get a special religious series as a result of this morning here on the radio. I want more of your opinions, and we will listen to you. We absolutely will listen to you, because it's a difficult time for those who... primarily for those who are facing the dilemma of unwanted pregnancy, first and foremost. It's also a difficult time for people who are of faith and who are being told that they are on the road to hell. It was very eloquently described by that woman. There was one point in particular where she was explaining how she rests easy with the yes vote and with her Catholicism. But the Catholic Church does not see it as that. Right, good morning. More of your points after this. Some people have been holding, I think, on line four and line five for quite a while. My apologies if you have been holding. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Let me see. We'll take one at a time. Who have I got on this line? Go ahead.
Okay, this line here?
Yes, good morning. What's your name?
Okay, my name's John.
Okay, John, fire away, John.
I've been listening very intently to some of the discussions this morning, which I find absolutely fascinating and very, very relevant. That last caller there gave a very good description of how a lot of people feel at the moment. But my take on this is slightly different. I think the whole referendum debate raised an issue which is more encompassing even than the abortion issue. It's about exclusionism and religion generally. You raised a very good point with one of the callers saying, you know, they felt excluded from the sacraments in the church. And I've experienced this myself. And I just feel that one of the points that you made was in the Catholic Church, for example, I think it's the same in the Church of Ireland, you can't receive communion if you're divorced. Well, it's even more extreme than that, in my understanding, if you're separated, which more than half the country is at the moment, from what I can sort of make out. So that excludes an awful lot of people from the sacraments of the church, so the Christian church, whether it be Catholic or Church of Ireland. And that is a bigger issue, and for me personally, about the whole debate. I know it's a very important debate about the abortion one, but if my understanding is that, and I've been told for several years, if you're separated and you're in a relationship with someone else, you cannot receive the sacraments either, even though you're not divorced. Now, that is a massive amount of people excluded from the church, even internally feeling excluded and in their minds feeling excluded from something, you know, they've been brought up with. And I'm just allying this to another point you made about the Pope's visit. Is it relevant? Well, to me, going forward with this whole debate, I think that there's an opportunity here for the Pope during his visit to make some sort of statement about all those people who have been excluded, either through the abortion referendum or through divorce or through separation, a chance to make a statement to welcome those people in some way back into the church and to acknowledge where they are and their difficulties.
Would you not go and have communion anyway, regardless of what the rule was?
Well, personally, I go to Mass every Sunday because I want to go. I feel, for me, it's the right thing to go, and I try and do that. I would also go with friends to other services, other Christian services, if the opportunity arose, and it does sometimes, and I do.
But would you go up for communion in the Catholic Church?
This is a big thing, no, because I have asked different priests and have said, no, the rules of this religion are that you cannot do that. And I have to respect and abide by that.
But do you? This is the question, but this is the important thing. Do you have to abide by it? Do you have to abide by what a priest is saying to you? Can you not just go to a church where you're not known, go in, be part of the consecration of the Mass, go up for communion, take the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what you believe, and basically allow the Catholic Church's rules to go whistle?
No. And not in my mind, because as that last caller made the very right point, if you've been brought up in a certain way, and I'm of a similar age to yourself, and you know a lot of other callers have come in, you've been brought up through a whole culture that this is the right way and this is the wrong way, and that's been embedded in your belief system and your morals, and you will try and do that. You're trying to be true to yourself. So if the rules of the religion are this is what you do, you have to unfortunately abide by that, even though you feel like going to communion. And the point you made about crossing your arms, I have this in the Church of Ireland too, you can sit and ask for, it's not a blessing, but an acknowledgement. And my point is, I have never seen anybody do this. I've never been in a church and watched anybody go up and cross their arms, because you're immediately saying, there's a problem with me, but I still want to be here. And
in a Catholic church, you've never seen anyone in a Catholic church do it?
No. No, I haven't.
I have to say, I've seen it regularly. I just didn't understand why they were doing it.
Well, most of it is to do with the fact they're separated, and according to the rules, you can't receive communion but a blessing. I need to get to that stage in my life where I can have the courage to do it. But in the church I go to, which is four services on a Sunday and at least one on a Saturday, it's a very busy church within a couple of miles of where you're broadcasting from, and I've never seen anybody do that. Mine might be the first that I've, you know, experienced. But the whole point for me is about this argument has raised the issue of exclusionism in the modern world, and is it right for the church to exclude people because of rules that were made up a long time ago and the world has changed? These are good people who, you know, can contribute to the church.
Very eloquent as well. Thank you very much indeed. 90333105. Good people who are being excluded, and more good people are about to be excluded if we go by what Father Paddy is saying. Father Paddy, one of the most highly respected priests in the country. This is why we're talking about it so much this morning. And we did invite him on the show, but he preferred not to come on. But his Facebook post, I'll remind you of some of the things he said on Facebook shortly. He does not miss and hit the wall. You are going to hell. Let me speak to whoever's on line one. Good morning.
Morning, Frank.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's Paul. Paul.
Okay, Paul. Fire away, Paul.
Right, that's okay. I don't know why you were talking to somebody else. And listen, I see an awful lot of people, you know, on the radio this morning, and after God, they're just unbelievable, the things they're saying, like that type of thing. I mean, I go to church, Frank, and I'm separated, and I go to communion. I go to communion because my God will forgive me. My God will forgive me for going to communion. I mean, I don't understand these people by that don't go to communion. You know what I mean? That type of thing, Frank. And, you know, they're making out just excuses, type of thing. And I think abortion, you know, I mean, down the road somewhere, they'll pay for their mistake. You know, I mean, their mind will, you know, they'll think about what they've done, and somewhere down the road their health will suffer. They don't realize that, Frank.
Yeah, but you're obviously you're a person who doesn't believe that someone should choose abortion. This is what you're saying.
Yes, that's right. You know, I mean, but
in relation to the referendum, you would have voted no in the referendum.
Yes, definitely, Frank. Yes.
So yeah. Let me ask you then about the Catholic Church. Do you believe that the people who voted yes in the referendum, that they need to repent?
Yes, definitely, Frank. You know, I mean, it would be so easy to get abortion if this comes in here. It'll be so easy for people to get abortion. You know what I mean? It'll be pay-as-you-go sort of thing. You know, it's just unbelievable. You know what I mean? The women. You know what I mean? This has started in Dublin. And they'll try and bring it in here. And I hope to God they don't bring it in here. And I back the DUP all the way. I mean, I usually vote SDLP. But from now on, I will vote DUP.
Well, you're going to vote DUP on the back of this, but you're also going to the Catholic Mass. You're part of the Catholic Church, and you're fully supportive of Father Paddy McCaffery, who says those who voted yes and who might still seek to consider themselves as practicing Catholics need a reality check. They have broken faith with Jesus Christ. They have committed a grave sin. Unless they sincerely repent and seek reconciliation with Jesus, they cannot be considered as Catholics in any true sense. Such is the gravity of what they have done. The consequences of our actions on this earth also affect our destiny in eternity. If such people will not repent and seek God's forgiveness, then we simply have to let them go on the path they have chosen. The reality of hell comes directly from the Word of God and the plain teaching of Jesus in the Gospel. Let us be clear, children who die in abortions go straight to God. They share in the vast company of the blessed who are happy in everlasting light. On the other hand, those who advocate for abortion, those who promote it, lobby for it, campaign for it, even worse, those who perpetrate abortion and those who deliberately procure them are agents of darkness. The greater guilt lies with the politicians and those who wielded their strong influences to secure abortion on demand in Ireland. Their immortal souls are in danger if they will not repent. We must pray for them as well as resist their evil work. You fully support what Father Paddy is saying there. You want the politicians to be in the confession box. You want the people who held the banners to be in the confession box. You want want the people who voted yes in the referendum to be in the confession box, or they're going to hell. That's what you believe.
Well, I'm not going to hell, Frank. I'm not saying going to hell. Maybe that's a bit strong.
Well, that's what Father Paddy's saying. That's what he's saying.
Well, again, that's what I'm saying. That's his opinion. But what I'm saying now, Frank, is our bodies don't belong to us. They don't belong to us. We're put on this earth by God, and God owns us. God owns us, Frank. And we will pay. We will pay when we die. The things that we do on this earth, we will pay for it.
Okay, okay. 90-333-105-077-66-105-105. One of the questions we're asking this morning, and this has lasted a long time with the input from those who are listening, is there any point in the Pope coming to Ireland? Father Paddy said aborted babies go straight to heaven, yet teaching of the church says that babies that die before they were baptised go to limbo. Make your minds up, says this texter. Yeah, they've changed the rule on that. The limbo doesn't exist anymore. Frank, if what you're reading out from Father Paddy is the word of God, I'd rather go to hell myself. God sounds like a tyrant, says Paul, who's in Ards. And this one, men are so opinionated and will never have the chance to carry a baby to full term or have a choice. I'm critical of the priests, says this one, for the history of abuse that has happened in this part of the world, says the texter. Frank, that last man is unbelievable. Does he really think that women make a choice to abort so lightly without future mental and physical pain? He's another man who believe women are stupid or maybe even evil, says Geraldine, who's in Lurgan. And there's quite a few of you just saying things like this. I was brought up a Catholic, but I refused to bring my kids up because I didn't want the fear and the guilt that's instilled in me as a Catholic. Right, we have other things to do on the programme as well, but there's so many if you want to speak about this. And John has a point that he wants to make. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Frank.
Yes, go ahead, John.
I was just listening there in and out, you know, obviously I'm working, but in and out of the radio and listening to the other listeners that were on, putting their points over. The point I have is, my grandfather years ago, probably in the, I would say the 50s or 60s, he worked in the yard, he was a part-time firefighter, and he ran a drapery business, money lending, all sorts. He was a bit of a businessman, and he had money about him and stuff like that. And one of the customers that he had, I think she was actually from the Malone Road, somewhere like that, and she found herself in a position where she was pregnant. She had the baby, out of wedlock as well. She had the baby, and the baby died, unfortunately. The baby was brought to the Catholic Church, but the priest wouldn't bury the child with the full rites, if you know what I mean. I don't understand it fully, what way it works with the Catholic Church, but however, the priest sort of disowned the girl and said, no, shoot her away. Now, my granda, because she was a customer of his, my granda had graves up in Dundonald there, empty graves that he had purchased, and he said to the girl, look, I will get the wee baby buried for you. And he went to his church. He was Brethren. And he spoke to one of the Brethren there. And they came. And there was lots of people along with the mother that attended the funeral. And the child was buried in the ground. And the Brethren member that came along said some words from the Bible and so on. Had a bit of a ceremony, you know. And the child was buried with dignity. And that was basically it. Now, since then, years later, my grandfather and grandmother obviously died, and they're buried in the same grave on top of that wee child.
That's a very sad story. And the little child, was it stillborn, or did it die just before it was baptised?
I think it died before it was baptised.
Yeah, it's a very sad reflection on the way the church used to treat stillborn children or indeed unbaptized children. That is the scandal, of course, of the children being buried outside the sacred ground. And it happened at the mother and baby units. It happened indeed at Milltown Cemetery as well. It's one of the great scandals, one of the great shames of the Catholic Church, which they've apologised for and which they've been trying to make amends for long and many a day now. But it is horrific. Horrific is, you know, there are many things associated with the Catholic Church over the years that we've discovered that come under the umbrella of horrific. And it's very sad. It's very sad to be saying that as someone who goes to Mass. You know, don't think I don't have a vested interest in this conversation, but there's no getting away from reality. Fred's got a point he wants to make. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, Fred. Very good.
Good. Frank, I would agree with what you said, that there's been lots of scandals, not only just last week, the home in Newry, where they're shipping children out to America to get re-adopted.
Yeah, that's Marion Vale from many decades ago. That's just right. Just in case it comes across as something modern, this is another example of historical abuse. Yeah,
it's another example. It's an example of abuse that the Catholic Church is inflicting on its congregations. And if they're truly sorry, why don't they come out and say, right, here's everything, clean the slate, let's go from here on in. There will be no more. They have covered up for so many priests. That priest who.
Just right now, I don't want to name any individual priests here. I just have to be really, nope. Really careful. So yeah, you can just continue on and make reference to priests and indeed to scandals, but don't name any names, please.
I promise I won't, Frank. But the scandals in the past that priests were involved in have been hidden, covered up, and still to this day are being covered up. Yes, you're saying, oh, we'll help out in police investigations here and there, but what Father Paddy has turned around and said is the same as Pastor McConnell a few years back, whereby he preached a sermon in his church and was hauled over to Colesford. Father Paddy is doing the exact same thing on his parishioners. I'm not a churchgoer, but Father Paddy should be ashamed of himself and should resign from the church if that is his belief.
Well, there's an important difference, however, Fred. There's an important difference between Pastor McConnell, who was talking about another faith. He was talking about Islam.
That's right.
And I don't want to go down the line of Pastor McConnell this morning, but I do need to emphasise that Pastor McConnell, as a Christian, was talking about Islam, and the comments he made were deemed by many to be unacceptable. Getting back to Father Paddy McCaffrey, he is talking about the rules of the Catholic Church. He is a Catholic priest. He is saying it as it is. What Father Paddy McCaffrey is saying is absolutely in keeping with the teaching of the Catholic Church.
It might be in teaching with the Catholic Church, but that is where the Catholic Church needs to change and needs to respect people. This is a changing world.
Well, this is why I asked the question, is there any relevance in the Pope coming to Ireland? Why are people going to go in their hundreds of thousands to really adore the Pope, to cheer the Pope, to welcome the Pope, if they don't agree with what the Pope represents?
If he comes to Ireland, he needs to come, and he needs to tell the people who go to listen to him what has happened within the Catholic Church has been completely wrong in the past. We need to move on. We need to recognise that this is wrong. There is a future, but we have to embrace the new future, and it does not involve this. It has to openly apologise and make a promise that all the scandals, all the cases that have been brought against the church still to this day will be looked at. There will be no more cover-ups. The priests who were involved, should they be living or dead, will be dealt with and not hidden away or sent in our country to do this and do the same things again, which has happened in the past.
Okay, it's a damning commentary, but a lot of what you're saying just reflects the history of the Catholic Church, very, very sadly. the Catholic Church, of course, would say that they are addressing many of the issues that you're asking them to address there, Fred. But thank you for that. I think there's another Fred on this line. Good morning. Good morning. No, that Fred has disappeared like snow off the proverbial ditch on a bright, sunny day. Good morning to you. 90-333-105-077-66-105-105. It's been a pretty intense hour or so. And thank you to everyone who contributed. My humblest apologies to you if you didn't get your point referred to on the programme. We're just absolutely inundated here. Many of you are saying it is good to see the Pope coming, but I think you're basically interested in the personality of Pope Francis, who you have a lot of respect for. You're not necessarily going to see him as Father Paddy McCaffrey type Catholics. A lot of people are coming across here on the texts and the emails as a la carte Catholics and people who do not accept everything that Father Paddy is saying on that Facebook post that has caused so much controversy and has been given so much attention today.
Tea parties are great. Oh, that delicious cake. And scones and biscuits. Quiche. Tarts. If you're wanting to host a tea party, why not make it a blooming great tea party and raise vital funds to help Marie Curie nurses care for people with terminal illnesses? Because more cake means more care.
Please sign up today. Just search Marie Curie online. And remember, we're counting on your cuppa.
Oh, lovely.
With a 2-year unlimited mileage warranty and 2-year UK and European roadside assistance, we're there for you. Even if you're not too sure where there is. Land Rover approved used. Winner of What Car Best Used Car Scheme 2018. Search Land Rover approved. Land Rover. Above and beyond.
At Lidl, we bring you everything you want from your weekly shop at lower prices. There's amazing price drops on hundreds of your favourite products, like Crunchy Oat Granola was £1.59, now only £1.39. And Chunky Oven Chips were £1.85, now just £1.69. Quality, freshness and local food now cost less at Lidl. Big on quality, Lidl on price.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105 with Right Sofaland. Experience luxurious living at Right Sofaland Kalinchi and our new flagship showroom at Knock Belfast.
For the latest travel news, check U105.com or follow at U105 Radio.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the copy machine hat, the sifting through tons of CVs hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your shortlist of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your shortlist. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com.
You know, I'm exhausted this morning, absolutely exhausted as a result of almost 2 hours of conversation about the same topic. We do have to draw a line under it. Our lines are still blocked with people wanting to speak, but we have to move on. And I really do appreciate your input. One of the other sub-issues that came up during it that a lot of you are remarking on as well is the idea of someone who's divorced not being able to receive communion in the Catholic Church. And I'll just take this final comment from a woman who is divorced. She says, good morning, Frank. I choose to make peace with God in my own soul. I am divorced and, like some of your previous callers, cannot receive communion as by divorcing my abusive ex-husband. It's an absolute joke that someone who can brutalize people mentally and physically, as in my ex-husband, can receive communion, yet the injured party, myself, can't. Without divorce, that man would still have been legally my next of kin, allowing him control over my life. If anything was to happen to me, he would have been my next of kin. The church is still in the dark ages. That is another issue, and it's not something that the likes of Father Paddy has been talking about on his Facebook post, but it certainly is a topic for discussion, and it ran as a side strand to our main conversation this morning. A huge thank you to everyone who inputted in any way during what has been a very busy 2 hours. And as I say, we do have to move on.